I want to read a verse of Scripture in your hearing this morning, the book of Luke, chapter number 12, just to lay a little bit of a foundation for what the Lord has laid on my heart. I'll have you stand this morning. I want to read this verse in your hearing, and we'll turn to another place. And I do believe that the Lord had me to be briefed this morning as I preach. It's 15 to 12 now. I do believe I will be briefed today. At least I believe it. Verse number 48. He gave me this verse after I got here this morning. He already gave me the thought of the message, but he gave me this verse after I got here. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Break that verse down into an A and a B and a C. I'm interested in the B part of that verse where the Scripture says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Amen. For God gives much, He requires much. Then as I came down the road, driving back and forth to services at the tabernacle, and I thought about it much, going to a revival this week where I was preaching, and I began to think about the commitments that God has made for me, that He's done for me. Committed Himself to a cross, committed Himself to a grave. Amen. Still arose. Committed His Son to me. The Holy Spirit lives inside me. Committed to me the opportunity to preach. I don't know necessarily if I have a gift or a talent to do so. I really just, the Bible says the biggest qualification of being a preacher is to be a fool. It's the foolishness of preaching. So you know I'm qualified there on that behalf as being a fool. But I begin to think about the commitments He's given to me, and I begin to wonder about my commitment to Him. Preacher, what? You've been in revival all week. You've been in the tabernacle all week. And you've been in the church going on, what is it, 8 or 9 years now? Preacher, well, I'm just beginning to wonder about my commitment to Him. And I'm telling you what, as I got praying about this thing, think about it. God told me that I want you to, your commitment to me needs to be surrendered. And I want to preach this morning on beyond commitment to surrender. I'd like to sit up here and preach on commitment. Will you commit to the Lord? Will you commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe that most of you probably have done that. I'm sure there's some probably this morning that you've never been saved. You've never been born again. I pray today to be the day.
Amen.
You'd call on Jesus, make Him your Savior. Doesn't matter what, if you're going to vote or not vote in the presidential election or in the church election. The best vote you'll ever cast is for Jesus Christ. The best thing you'll ever do. For some of you that are in this church, you have committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've committed to the church. Listen, Jesus got me before the Baptists did. Amen. But you've committed to the church. And I begin to think about some of the commitments that we've made. And the Lord said, your commitment is to surrender. Most gladly I do so. And I wonder about my surrender. Is it a full surrender? Is it a complete surrender? Most churches nowadays, they won't even commit to Him, much less surrender to Him.
Right.
Church, I'm going to ask you, look around. God has blessed us.
Amen.
And I've seen a lot of folks making commitments. Folks calling the Lord being saved. Folks coming here saying, preacher, I feel led to join the church. We appreciate each one of you. Thank God for your commitment to the house of God. But I pray this morning that it be surrender. Lord, I want to surrender this thing. Lord, as we bow this morning in your presence, we are thankful to be saved. We are thankful to be in this place today on this Sunday morning to call on your holy name. I pray this morning, God, as you help us to look into these scriptures this morning, let us know where much unto Him, where much is given, much is required. Lord, you bless me with much. God, you require much. And this morning, Father, I know you require our full and complete surrender. God, I pray we'd be willing to grant that to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Not so much me up preaching this morning, but it's His voice I want you to hear. And I want you to heed what He tells you to do this morning. I appreciate this church. And the one thing that I always note about the Bethel Baptist Church is your obedience. I don't know that I've been in another church, and I've been in Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia. I've been in churches there. You don't really see as much obedience in a lot of places as you see at Bethel Baptist Church. And you're to be commended for that. And in your obedience, that is a commitment to be obedient to His voice. But God said it's still not full surrender. And I don't know what He's looking for, but I want you to heed these verses in the book of Acts, chapter number 3. I'm going to be very brief this morning, I promise. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. You remember this story, very familiar with it, I'm sure. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. The ninth hour of the day would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Imagine that. The temple was a beautiful building, and there was a gate outside that led in, and the gate of that structure was even named Beautiful. And outside that beautiful gate lays a man who is vile and wretched. The Bible says that he is a lame man, has some type of paralyzation from his mother's womb. And they take this man, which is a picture of the decrepit and the wicked, and lay that pitiful state of a man outside the beautiful gate. That represents me. I was outside. No way I could go to heaven. No way I could get in the house of God. I was shut out. I might be laid outside beside the beautiful gate, and there was a door to come in, and that door is Jesus. He's the one that's beautiful and altogether lovely. But I was lame on my feet, and as sin had paralyzed me, and I could not get in. No way I could. The Bible says these men of God were passing by that gate that day on their way into the house of God for prayer, and they saw this paralyzed man, this putrid state of a man, laying beside a beautiful gate. What a comparison is there. Verse number 3, this man begging for alms, the Bible said verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Again, to think about that sinner laying outside the gate there representing me. Begin to think about those men of God, Peter and John, passing by. A lot of us this morning, you're saved. You may not be the man of God that Peter and John was, but you've been saved. And you've been allowed entrance into the things of God, into the blessings of God. And every day you come through that beautiful gate to come to the house of God, you come through the Lord Jesus Christ to come before the throne of a Most High God. Amen? I begin to think about the commitment or the surrender that Peter and John had. How in the world were they able to raise this man up? Well, I want to say first of all this morning, they had commitment to a person. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
It might be said this morning that they were surrendered men to the Savior. Listen, you'll never do anything in your life. Your life will be to no avail unless you make a commitment to the Savior. A surrender of your will for His will. A surrender of your sin for His salvation. It'll be the most blessed day in your life. I remember back yonder at the Balfour Baptist Church when I got saved. And I came down there and bowed on my face before the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved me that blessed day. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. It was a commitment to the right person. Not a commitment to Muhammad. He can't save nobody. Not a commitment to Confucius or confused. Not a commitment to Buddha. But my commitment was made to Jesus, the one who went to the cross for my sin, showing me His love, the one who they buried, and the one who was raised again on the third day. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Nobody loves you this morning like the Lord Jesus Christ. They made a commitment to the right person. But they also made a commitment to evangelize the sinners. When the other sinner they came by, they'd try to deal with them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they could have passed by this paralyzed man, laying outside the gate, and said, "Boy, we're late for service. We're in a hurry. We've got to get there." But they said, "We've made a commitment to the Lord that we're going to try to win folks to the Lord Jesus Christ." And they had a concern, a burden about souls. I want to say most of the churches nowadays in Western North Carolina or all over the East Coast or the South or all over the United States of America, no longer are we interested in the souls of mankind. We're not interested in seeing souls saved. We're interested in me and my friend no more. Interested about who's going to do this and who's going to do that and what position we can have in the church. Hogwash on positions. We don't need any of that stuff. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what He loves. That's what interests Him. And that's what He wants His people to love. He wants His people to love sinners. That's exactly what our commitment needs to be, to win the lost of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's a commitment to the right person, the Lord Jesus. And it's a surrender to Him. And it's a commitment to win the lost. And it's a commitment to take the saints of God and teach them the precepts of the Word of God. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get despondent. Sometimes we get depressed. But ain't it amazing when you go down lower in a snake's belly and you feel miserable? I mean, you're even there on faith. You shouldn't even been there. But somehow you come in and the man of God took the sacred death and began to read the Word of God, and the Spirit of God began to minister to him. And somehow the Word of God came and gave you just what you needed at the right time. And you left that building that day a little different than you came in. You came in depressed and you went home impressed. Amen. You came in discouraged and you went out encouraged. They just talk about getting feeding and nourishment at the house of God. And I believe it comes as a church to have the commitment to the right person, a commitment to the sinners, and a commitment to the saints of God. Amen. Well, not only is it a commitment to a person, but I want to say it's a commitment to a place. If you look back with me in verse number 1, these men of God, Peter and John, where were they going? Where were they on their way to? They'd made a commitment to serve faithfully at the house of God. In fact, I believe their commitment was surrender. It's 3:00 in the afternoon, and it's prayer time, and we're going to the house of God. We're going to the temple of God to seek His face and to serve Him. Hey, can I ask you something? Have you made a commitment in your life to the right person? Have you made a commitment in your life to be concerned and pray and try to be a witness to the sinners? Have you done that to try to encourage the saints rather than being part of the cold water committee and always trying to take somebody's fire and throw cold water on them and put them out and douse them real good? Instead, you'd fan the flame and try to encourage them? Have you made that commitment? Let me ask, have you made a commitment to the house of God? That me and my family, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you made that commitment? And I mean, not just a commitment, but surrender. That Lord, when the house of God is open, and there's service in the church that I feel like where God wants me and my family to attend, we are going to be there. We ain't just going to say we're going to be there. We are actually going to go. And not just hit or miss. Now I realize faithfulness is relevant. There's some people tell you we attend the Bethel Baptist Church. They do. They come to Easter and Christmas service. And they'll tell you I'm faithful to it because every year they come to Easter and Christmas service very faithfully. But the other 50 or 52 weeks, I don't see them. So faithfulness is relevant in your own eyes. But I mean according to the Scriptures, if we make a commitment, yay, if we're in full surrender, when the house of God is open, we'll be there. Oh, one of my buddies here in the church right now, I'm not calling his name, but he'll know who I'm talking about. He come here to the church for the first time, and I began to tell some, I said, we're going to have a decorating for Christmas around here. We're going to put up lights and a tree and all that stuff, and we're going to start on Monday night. Well, it was this fellow's first time at the church. And you know what? On Monday night, we all met back. There were some ladies here and some men. And this fellow walked in. And he said, what can I do? I looked at him and I said, what's your name again? And he told me his name again. I said, yeah, that's right. That's what I thought it was. I said, well, I'll tell you what. You can help me by carrying this box, right? Why, he just said the house of God's open. He says, well, God told me to attend. I'll just help you put the tree up. Before I knew it, he knew everybody in the place. Guess who that was? Steve Stanley. Come in here, man, he's getting to know everybody, talk to everybody. And next thing I knew, they said, we're ready to join. Guess why? Because they'd been faithfully attended. When the house of God was open to decorate, he was here for that. That's what God wants us to be if we're surrendered. I'm telling you where I used to pastor. There was a young man who got saved. He got on fire for God. He got surrendered to God. We had a service on Sunday morning. Service on Sunday night. We came back on Tuesday night. We was going to have a men's meeting. He was there for that. He was there on Saturday night when I went down to preach in a meeting Saturday night in Saluda. He's back the next Sunday. The next Sunday night, I'm telling you what, he was there all the time. On Thursday night, they're going to have a women's meeting. He showed up for the women's meeting. He said there might be some women here that need to be evangelized or talked to. About might be something I can pick up. And I thought, glory to God, he just got a hold of it. Then the house of God is open. I'm going to be there. I've made a commitment. No, I've made surrender to the Lord, to the house of God. I wonder tonight, when the pastor's away in revival at Fort Mountain, if you'll really come back. Brother Matt, you need to be here tonight. You're preaching. See, your commitment is to the place, and it's the house of God. I guarantee you'll join some club, some social outfit. You'll pay them $150 a year so you can do this or do that, and you'll be as faithful to it as a blue tick hound dog. Yet, bless God, you'll make a commitment to the church, and we won't see your hide for weeks at a time. And then you'll say, well, the preacher should have called me. Huh? Hey, the social club didn't call you. Amen? And you'll give your $150 a year or $150 a month and you'll be right there every meeting. President never call on you. Nobody ever shake your hand. But tell that club you want to be part of it and there you are. Hey, you made a commitment to a place and you're glad to do it. But listen, what's greater than the house of God? Anything worth having centers around this place. The house of God. It's where I got saved. It's where God called me to preach. I got married in the house of God. Amen. Glory to God. It's where God comes and meets with His people. He's answered my prayers. He heals His saints. Hey, God meets with us at the house of God. Have you made a commitment? Yay! Is there full surrender? Huh? Well, let me go on. I know you're not liking it too much. It'll get worse. The Bible says also in verse number 1 where Peter and John, well, they were going there to the temple at the hour of prayer. What were they making a commitment to? They made a commitment to pray. Hello? You got me on, Brother John? They made a commitment to pray. A lot of times this altar will be open so you can come up here and pray and seek God's face. Maybe something applied in the message. Maybe God dealt with you something out there in the pew. I don't know. And many of you are faithful about getting in the altar and weeping and praying. And some of you stand there and look at me. Okay, I'm telling you, you'll never move. Let me tell you what. Have you made a commitment to pray and seek God's face? I believe when Peter and John went down there, they went to the house of God gladly and said, praise God, we're going to get to go pray and seek God's face and come before His throne through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they made a commitment. We're going to pray. Boy, I hate to say what I'm going to say. I really do. Oh, this is going to make somebody mad just as sure as the world. But it's going to come out like a belch, and I'm not going to say excuse me, because here it comes. This alcohol vote went on to Spruce Pine about Tuesday before last, and I've heard you moaning and groaning and whining. I can't believe I'm so upset about it. These churches down here didn't want to stand up against it, and la da da da. Let me say something to you. We had a little sign up sheet that laid on this table for about 6 to 8 weeks and said, I want you to come and pray 15 minutes that God would stop alcohol coming into Spruce Pine, North Carolina. And you just looked at me as stone faced could be. Some of you said, well, I won't sign up for a time. I'll just come down. And some of you did come. I was down here a lot myself. Some of you did come. But you know what? There was time. I rode up here. There wasn't one person in the house. Now, best I can look this morning, I done counted. There's right little over 400 people in this building this morning. Pretty close. 400 of us to pray 15 minutes would have took up a right smart deal of time. We had the opportunity to pray and ask God that He'd keep alcohol out of Spruce Pine, North Carolina. That the ones that's going to be for it, that God just make them sick so they couldn't get out. Right? Or He'd change their mind or whatever. But all you want to do is moan and groan. I can't believe them churches down there wouldn't stand and get you like I should have. I can't believe it. God, it's out. Let me tell you what was wrong with you? Oh, I didn't have a vote in the matter. I mean, I don't live in the jurisdiction of Spruce Pine City. Hey, bless God, but as a citizen of heaven, you had the access to go before the throne of the Most High God, and you didn't do nothing about it. You sat at the house and didn't even consider it till it hit the news. We had the right to come to... Well, I prayed at the house. Thank you very much. Well, la-di-da-da. Peter and John got up off their duff and went down to the house of God when it was open. And they saw God's face in the temple at the hour of prayer, which was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They were, I don't care if you don't like it or not. It's a blessed gospel truth, and that's the way it is. It come in because God's people wouldn't stand against it. If we'd been really concerned about sinners out there, we'd have been out there evangelizing, and they'd have got saved before that burn ever happened, and they'd have burned it on the Lord's side rather than on the lost side. Amen. You might as well say amen, because it's going to get worse from here. Say, oh me, he's right. I commit not to prayer. I ain't prove it to you. This morning got 400 people here. Glory to God. Glad all y'all are here. But you watch by Wednesday night. What's Wednesday night called? Prayer meeting. Did y'all feel that? Plow hit a stump right there. Ooh, I wasn't coming back Wednesday. You're right, preacher. Commitment to a person. Commitment to a place. The house of God, yeah. But commitment to prayer? The least attended service at the house of God is prayer meeting. Hey, do you know? Some of y'all don't even know. At Bethel Baptist Church, Sunday school starts at about 10 o'clock. We have a prayer room at 9:30. Amen. We'll come back for service tonight, and we'll have prayer room at 5:45. But you know how little attended our prayer rooms are? You see, we've not made a commitment, much less surrender. Well, let's go on from there. They made a commitment to a person. They made a commitment to a place. They made a commitment to prayer. But guess what else they made a commitment to? They made a commitment to praise His name. When they met that sinner out there, because they've hooked up to the light source, because they're in full surrender, they said to that man, and when he was begging for alms, asking for something that get him a few French fries and a few chicken McNuggets, and he had his cup out there begging, said, please, sir, could you spare a little change for an old man? That could you do something for an old man that's out here starving to death and can't work for his own? Peter and John stopped and looked at him. Said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And by faith, they reached out and did the unthinkable. Touched that old sinner man, and immediately the Bible said when they touched him, And he, listen, he didn't jerk his hands back and say, "Oh no! Oh no, I can't get saved! Oh no, I can't go to the altar! Oh no, I can't go to the house of God." That's the way a lot of people are. In faith, there he laid. He reached his hand back out and grabbed a hold of theirs too. They were meeting on it in faith. And immediately his ankle bones received strength. And that man jumped up on his feet and he began to walk. The Bible says he began to leap and praise God. And do you know what he did? That man that was laid outside the beautiful gate, that was such a putrid old sinner, amen. Do you know what he did? He ran down to Walmart and bought a beer. No! He took off the Ingles and tried to have a debate whether that was going to sell beer or not. Went and got gas for his car. Huh? No! You know what he did, bless God, when he got saved? Stood up on his feet. He began to praise God and thank Him. And the Bible says he went into the temple. He that was shut out, he that said, they said, "You're an outcast and you're an alien and you're not allowed here." Guess what, glory to God, after he got saved, he jumped up and he went right in the house of God. First thing he did, first place he went, and he went in and he was like, "Woo, glory to God, hallelujah, I can walk now, I've been saved, I've been redeemed, and now God has touched my ankle bones, and glory to God, I can walk just like you people." They praise His name. And them Pharisees turned around at the house of God and said, "Who is that? And he's messing up our service. Leaping and praising God. I wish he'd just calm his tater down." And we don't like that shouting stuff. We don't like that praising stuff. Let me tell you what. That man did not have to have a praise and worship team to teach him how to praise God. Didn't have nobody on the flag team out of demonstrating, amen. No. He went right in and began to praise His holy name. And I am persuaded this morning, there's a bunch of you in this building. You've been saved for years. You've made a commitment to the right person. You made a commitment to the right place. And you made a commitment probably even in prayer. But where's the praise at? Yeah, I don't know as much about that, preacher. I just about had it. My shoes come untied, amen, when I was running. Both of them's untied, glory to God. I ought to take them off. You hear me this morning? Y'all made a commitment to praise His name, but you won't. As elementary as tying my shoes, to praise His name is that simple. Amen. Just to glorify Him, seek His face. But you know what? You know why we don't? We ain't made a commitment to Him to do it, and we sure ain't surrendered to do it. There's been only a very few people in my life that I've run across that were totally surrendered, and every time you run into them, it's bragging on the Lord, talking about Jesus. I mean, anytime you try to talk about the weather, brag on the Lord. He sent it. Anytime you talk, everything is about the Lord. Your tongue is not in complete surrender. I'm going to ask you to stand. I told you I wasn't going to preach long. I got more, but God said you quit right there. Peter and John, these great men of God, they had something to share, didn't they? They shared the Savior. I wonder this morning, what's your commitment to the hunting club, JCPenney shopper's discount? You wouldn't miss a sale at the Kohl's store, I'm telling you. They send you one of them little old coupons for 15% off and you'll make a run out there to go spend money that you didn't need to spend to start with to try to save something. Now I'm telling you what, you have made a commitment to the Son of God. I pray you'll make one in full surrender to Him. And He's dealt with your soul and said, "Boy, I ought to pray more, I ought to be more willing to serve." you that's running for office, I'm telling you, you've made a commitment, amen, to the Lord Jesus Christ. You be surrendered. You hold your office like God wants you to. You be faithful in doing so this morning. Folks are moving. I'll ask someone to come play on the piano, the organ, if someone can get there. And maybe there's some folks need this morning and say, Lord, I just want to be committed to You. I want to surrender to You. Lord, I want to serve You. I want to be encouraged. But Lord, this morning I want to live my life before You to be pleasing to You. David wrote in the Psalms, as we get ready to pray this morning, in Psalm 19, verse 14, he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. You see, what he's saying is, I don't care if I'm accepted by the people or not. I appreciate what Brother Kyle said. It doesn't matter whether I'm accepted by the people or not. He said, Lord, I want the words of my mouth and the things that are in my heart. I want those things to be acceptable, O Lord, in Your sight. And I pray this morning, can you make that commitment? That, Lord, I just want to please You and I want to surrender to Your will in my life. Does anybody else this morning need to come before we pray? I want to say this morning. You ain't going to like what I'm going to say. Probably ain't liked a whole lot of it anyhow, but I'm going to say this morning because when I get up from praying, it's what I laid on my heart. But I appreciate the fact that down there on the little sign that y'all have out front that's got a name of this place, Bethel Missionary Baptist, that you're willing to put the name church on the end of it. You may think that's some small deal. But nowadays, people come together, they don't want to no longer call themselves a church. They think the world don't like that word church, so they won't put it on their sign, won't put it in their bulletins, won't announce it in their pulpits. They don't like the word church. But my Bible still has the word church in it. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Bible says for the church that He gave His life for the church. Amen. That's right. And I'm not ashamed to put the word church down here on our sign or in our bulletin or stand in this pulpit just to say I'm glad that my commitment's to the right place. It's to the house of God, to the church. That's the people of God. That's Bible teaching. I'm not looking to be accepted by the world. Well, you'll get more people to come that way. Listen, lost people knows what the church stands for. Our problem in the church nowadays is the church is getting so worldly that you can't tell the difference between the world and the church. And it starts in our pulpits and with leadership that says, let's not call ourselves church anymore. And then the next thing they say, let's quit preaching the book. We're watering it down, y'all, and it's killing us. I'm telling you, you got a little preacher up here that says, I want something real. I want to be associated by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be part of the church. Amen. Well, preacher, you're going to offend a lot of people. I mean, these people have got community outreach centers and community center this. And listen, I'm glad to be part of the church. It didn't say part of the community center. No, it said the church. And I'm not ashamed of that today. I'm not ashamed of the church. And He said if we're ashamed of Him, He'd be ashamed of us. And I'm not ashamed of His Word today. Amen. I had somebody say, preacher, I want to be baptized and I'm going to allow them to come up. Might be somebody else. You need to join with the church or need to come as a candidate to be baptized. If you'd do so, come on quickly. Anybody. Had somebody say, I want to be baptized. I want to be candidate for baptism. God sent us new people 4 straight weeks, and He's working a good day. He's awesome.